Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it just a walk through the cemetery or was she receiving messages as well?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. And if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802. Or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes, access to the archive, become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And Kathy Gordon's here with me. I'm Carol Hughes. And so, and I already told Kathy this story after it happened, but I wanted to share it. So the other day, I was in my living room, and you and I are alike in that we both have little urns of animals in our house. So when my dog Buddy, last year, my friend actually worked at the place where he was cremated and brought him to me, so I didn't have to go pick him up, which was really sweet. So he came over that day, and he set him on my coffee table, and we talked, and I've never moved him since. And I will eventually, but I don't know. You know, I'm weird. So I also collect pennies. I think pennies are signs from above. And so I always have pennies. I've got pennies in it everywhere. I find pennies. And that day I found 2 pennies and I took them as a little sign for my dog. And so I set those pennies on top of that little box, and that's been there ever since, right? So the other day I went to set my phone down, and I set my phone down on top of Buddy's box. And in my head, I thought to myself, that was weird. Like, I've never set my phone on Buddy's box, but I left it there.
I know. Did it slightly feel like disrespectful?
A little bit. But right. Then I was like, that's crazy, because Buddy wouldn't care if I set my phone next to him.
No.
And so I set it there, and then I worked out, because I have this lady on YouTube who I really like. So I did a little workout, and I go to pick up my phone, and one of those pennies was on top of the phone.
So impossible.
It's so impossible. Because the only way that could happen was one of those pennies would have been on the coffee table, and I put my phone there, and then I picked the penny up, and I put the penny on top of my phone.
Or the penny just hopped up on top of the phone, which seems implausible.
But the penny was on top of the phone.
So you had 2 pennies, one underneath the phone, and then one was on top of the phone.
And one might have been next. I don't remember where the other one was, because his box is, you know, probably 5x7.
But even if you'd have knocked the penny off when you put the phone on, the penny had to bounce off of the table.
And back up. That wouldn't have happened. And the fact that I was like, that's weird, I'm setting my phone on Buddy's box. But then I'm like, I don't even know why I did that. I just did it, and I thought that in my head, but I still didn't move my phone. It was almost like I was supposed to put my phone there for that little bit of a sign, but I don't know what the sign meant.
Well, keep open, because something might be coming.
But isn't that interesting?
Because
there's no way that penny. No. How did the penny end up on top of my phone?
No, absolutely not.
So I was like, oh, Buddy, I got that. Like, that was the sweetest thing. I was just like, I started talking to him, and I'm like, I miss you too, which I tell him that every day anyway, but whatever. But it was just, I'm getting emotional. But it was just, excuse me, makes me emotional. But it was so sweet.
Well, and, you know, I had little Rosie, little Shih Tzu that I lost. And it's been a little 3 years now or so. And she was best friends with our other little Shih Tzu, Sam. And my daughter, Kate, took Sam when she moved out of the house and went to college. But every time they got together, oh my goodness, they were just absolutely inseparable.
Oh, they loved each other.
And they have both since passed. Well, Kate had Sam's remains. I had Rosie's. And I had Rosie's on top of my dresser in my bedroom. And that is, I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but that's the dresser where I had a picture, and it was a picture of my children. I had a picture of Rosie, and then a picture of me and Rosie and my new dog, Ben. Anyway, but the picture of my children, it kept doing weird things. It would turn around and face the wall. One day I came over and it was moved way forward to where it was just like teetering on the edge of the dresser, and nothing else had moved. Like, how does one picture move? Like, if I slammed a door shut on the dresser, they all should jiggle somewhat, right? But no, this one picture, it would move, you know, 90 degrees, or it would move the other way 90 degrees, and I'd come home. So Kate is moving, and she said, would you take Sam's remains home? And I said, with you until I get back. She's moving overseas. And I said, yeah. So I brought Sam's remains home, and I thought, I'll put him with Rosie. They always loved each other so much. So I got a picture of Sam, put it next to Rosie, and there they are, and nothing has happened since. It's almost
together.
It's almost as if Sam and Rosie were wanting to be together, and that other picture was in the way. I took that other picture off. I put Sam's up, and it's been perfect.
Isn't that something?
You know, now, I don't know, but I just know that Sam and Rosie are back together again. Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know how the penny ended up on top of my phone the other day, but I also know that pennies are a really big sign for me. And so if somebody wants to get through to me and they put a penny in my path, that will get my damn attention every time. And so to see the penny there was like, what? Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know. That really was interesting weird to me.
Well, what about walking through cemeteries? Do you ever do that?
No, I was talking about it recently. You and I were that I went with my friend Veronica to a cemetery, but I don't have any cemeteries around here. I would have to.
But they are fascinating.
Yeah.
I find them super fascinating to walk through. And do you ever like just walk and you see a stone and then you go, oh, I wonder what happened? Like all of a sudden you're kind of trying to read this history into it, or, you know, it'll give you a little something. You know, I know one stone I was reading from one of my ancestors talks about her coming to that town in a covered wagon and stuff. And, you know, it's so rich.
You know, I read this story about this woman. I didn't know this was a thing. So it's good. I'm going to guess it was like in the early 1900s to 1940s, maybe in there, maybe into the 50s. But some women would put their favorite recipe on their gravestone, which I've never seen it, but this woman had pictures of it. And so she would take pictures of the recipes, go home and make them and bring them back.
Oh,
isn't that the sweetest?
Oh, I have always teased whenever somebody asks me for my recipe, I'll say, I ain't giving to you because then you won't need me anymore. Right. You're keeping me around for the, you know, corn casserole or whatever, you know.
But I just think it's so interesting. So I wonder if that might be a certain, you know, an Amish thing. I'm just using them as an example. But some women, you know, like where this woman lives, because I've never seen a recipe on a headstone.
I love it.
I know. I thought that was so cool.
Oh, my goodness.
So this story came from my Facebook friend, Kim. And by the way, if anyone wants to be my Facebook friend, I'm totally cool with that. But just send me a message so I don't have to go, why the hell is this person from California?
Oh, yeah, and same thing with me, guys. You know, you can totally friend me on Facebook.
I am fine with that.
But we get so many of the every person in the world does of the creepy person.
That,
you know,
like, that man who lives in, you know, like he's engineer
and he's super hot.
Yeah, he's really handsome.
Yeah,
he's doctor.
Yeah,
and so I'm just always like, why does this person want to be my friend? Yeah. Random.
Just
so,
let me know you're a listener, and I'll be happy. Yeah.
So here's the story. It says, so excited to share a recent spooky cemetery experience with you and your listeners. This is not an apparition that I physically saw, but rather a message that was conveyed to me by an unknown resident of a local cemetery. I live in Calgary, Canada, and I listen to your show while I cook, do dishes, or work in the garden. The chemistry and banter that y'all, she didn't say y'all, I did that. The chemistry and banter that you all bring to the show, she's Canadian, I got to respect this, helps to give them so much fun and empathy to your listeners' stories. I find the hours fly by while I work, so here is one of mine to share. Thank you for saying that nice thing. I don't experience paranormal happenings on a regular basis and have never actually seen a ghost. I tend to receive oblique messages from the other side. I can't control my ability much, but the older I get, the more I think that if I open myself up to it more fully, I could receive a lot more contact. But like you, Carol, I am also generally guarded about allowing myself to be too open to spirits. I find it all fascinating, but it also scares the hell out of me. Very cool to experience the things I have, but I find it always seems to leave me with more questions than answers. I tell you, I'm that way. It just kind of freaks me out to open myself up too much.
You know, but you got to open up yourself a little bit. Like you need.
Well, I mean, obviously, some of those. I just told you the penny story.
Well, yeah.
The story I'm writing to you about today happened around November of 2021. The fall leaves were changing, days were getting shorter, and weather was starting to cool. COVID numbers were going up again. Oh, didn't you hate that?
I hated
that. Oh, my
God. That's
so bad.
We all did.
It was like, would it ever end? And I had been feeling some anxiety about my oldest son, Jack. He had an appointment with our general practitioner the next day to check out a lump that he had found. He'd recently lost a lot of weight, too, and it was concerning. As a mother, you can tell when something is not right with your kids, but I always try not to worry needlessly about something until I know what we're dealing with. On this late afternoon, I needed to get out of the house and think on my own for a while. Now, I have known from an early age that I've always been drawn to cemeteries. I find them very peaceful, calming, and quiet. They are interesting, too. Whenever I used to feel down and I wanted to be alone with my thoughts, I would head off to a cemetery near the house I grew up in. It was an older cemetery by Canadian standards, with some headstones dating back to the mid-1800s. I hadn't walked in a cemetery for several years, but on this particular day, I just wanted to get out of my house, away from my family, and walk peacefully at a cemetery. I randomly picked one that I remembered seeing that was near my home, but I had never visited there. It was a large one with lots of trees and a creek that runs through it that, of course, happened to also be adjacent to a funeral home. I parked near the entry and walked into the cemetery. I set an intention and said out loud that I would be open to any friendly spirits that may have a message for me. I don't always open myself up like that, but I've done so on occasion with decent results. There's one big problem that I have in communicating with the paranormal. I find that the messages I receive are not always complete and the meanings can be misinterpreted. Also, I think things can latch onto you and follow you. Needless to say, I don't open myself up often. Anyway, here I am late afternoon on a fall day walking into this random cemetery and opening myself up to receiving messages from anyone that wants to come through. My son Jack and his health scare were obviously weighing heavily on my mind and thoughts. I started meandering around the rows of headstones towards a small creek in the middle of the cemetery. I turned and walked along the creek for a bit, and then I turned back up the hill towards a pathway lined with headstones. As I walked up the hill, I looked over to my left and noticed a headstone with my last name on it, let's say White, but didn't think much of it beyond a coincidence. It's a common surname, but no sooner did I see that headstone when I noticed the name Jack in the row immediately behind the headstone that said White.
Oh, that's upsetting.
Yeah, because you just saw your kid's name.
Yeah.
That stopped me in my tracks. It seemed like a strange coincidence to see my son's full name here. That is where things started to get weird. I shook my head and continued down the path. I figured that someone might be trying to send me a message about my son at this point, and said so out loud. Again, I invited whatever message that the spirit had to communicate to me, opening myself up even further. I continued along another random turn down to a road with a little bridge that crossed the creek and connected to the other side of the cemetery. It does sound lovely.
It does. It sounds
really
beautiful.
Does. As I headed over the bridge, I thought that seeing his name like that was not a coincidence, and asked out loud for more information about what was happening with Jack. I shit you not. At that exact moment, the headphones connected to my Spotify account. I'm assuming the headphones were connected to her Spotify account.
Mm-hmm.
Started playing Knocking on Heaven's Door by Guns N' Roses. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. That's weird.
Mm.
I would be like, no, 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 no. That is not the message I wanted. This time I was annoyed because I felt like whatever was trying to communicate with me was just trying to scare me. I firmly believe that there are malevolent spirits that will just mess with you and send you messages that are meant to scare us, not help us. And this was a clear F you message because I don't even have that song on any of my playlists.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes if you randomly, like, you pull up, listen to Brandi Clark, and then once it kind of gets done playing Brandi Clark, it will play things like Brandi Clark. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll go
sure.
on.
Yeah.
But just to be in a cemetery and have Knocking on Heaven's Door start playing, especially when you have so much on your mind.
Mm-hmm. But this is not unusual. We hear of people...
music.
You know, getting in their car and the first song that comes on is something that just hits them in the yep. gut, you know. So I'm not saying that, you know, it is paranormal, but what are the odds?
Yes.
Right.
So it says, now I started to tear up because I'm connecting the song with my son and his current health scare.
Sure.
And why wouldn't
you? Of course
you
would. You'd start connecting those dots.
Not at all what I want to see or find out at this point, and I was annoyed that this spirit could be sharing news that is so negative. So now I was feeling a lot more freaked out about these messages. Are they just a coincidence? Is it something just messing with me? But what if they aren't? Knowing only a little information is useless because it seems like someone might be trying to tell me that Jack is not going to be okay. Knowing that wasn't helpful either. So I continued walking up the next hill. Keep in mind, this is random pathways in a cemetery I've never been to. And of course, the next area I pass by is a children's cemetery. There are toys and teddy bears left on the headstones and even a little playground with a slide and swings in the middle of it. So strange to have that built there. I picture the children's spirits playing on it when no one else is around. My son is a young adult, not a small child, but he is still my child. And again, that seemed like it could be a coincidence, but maybe it wasn't. I passed the children's area and I saw a black granite bench next to a corner plot under a tree about 50 meters to the left down another roadway. I decided that I was feeling a little shaken up and needed to sit down for a few minutes to process some of what was going on and work out if it was all a coincidence or if what I was experiencing was a spirit messing with me. By now, I was feeling pretty shaken up, annoyed if this is just some spirit screwing around, but it also scared me for my son if these messages could be holding any truth about what may be coming up in the near future. And I get that.
Sure.
I was also fearful of what was happening here because I opened myself up. And past experiences have told me that I am sensitive to communication with the deceased. Could be just a coincidence, but maybe not. So now, I walked over to the black granite bench under the tree to take a seat. And my cat just decided to join the podcast. You get out of the way. So I walked over to the big black granite bench under the tree and took a seat. As I sat, I noticed a big black granite headstone that matched the bench and realized this person's family installed both so that they could sit and visit easily with their departed loved one. Nice touch, I thought, and I was grateful to be able to sit comfortably for a minute under the tree. Then I read the headstone. Turns out it was a young girl that passed away at 16, which is terribly sad, of course. But the thing that stabbed me to my soul was that the date of her death was November 13th, 1999. My son was born on November 7th, 1999. That would be freaky.
Okay.
That's when I was sufficiently freaked out enough to believe that these were not random messages. Something was going on with my son and his health, and this was not going to be good. Message received. I stood and started out of the cemetery. It was starting to get dark, and I needed to get out of there before any other communications were sent my way.
Yeah, I'll bet.
It's like,
yeah.
I'm done, shutting down. As I left the gate of the cemetery and returned to my car, I very emphatically told the spirits they were not welcome to join me and had to stay behind in the cemetery. I did not want anything to follow me home. When I got home, I wrote it all down in a notebook. I wanted to be able to remember the details of what had occurred so that I can keep track of the messages and not let them fade in my memory. The next day, my son saw the doctor and it turned out that everything was fine. The small bump he found was a common thing that can happen and it was expected to go away on its own. Crisis averted. Hallelujah. At this point, I just got mad about the entity or spirit that sent me those messages in the cemetery. I chalked it all up to a malevolent spirit that wanted to cause me stress and upset. Not helpful or benevolent at all. I told my husband the story and he agreed that it sounded like something was trying to screw with me. That's what I get for opening myself up, I thought. Until several months went by. I'd been noticing for a while during COVID lockdown that my son's behavior changed a little bit. Even prior to COVID, there were things going on with him that led me to believe he was depressed. And hey, with the COVID world that we lived in, whose mental health hadn't taken a hit? One day in the spring, about 5 months after the incident in the cemetery, I believe I finally got the whole message that the spirit in the cemetery was trying to relay to me. My son admitted to having compulsive suicidal thoughts for years. He had ideations that had developed when he was still in high school, and they were becoming more and more invasive. He wasn't sleeping, socializing, or enjoying doing anything anymore due to these repetitive thoughts. I am so intensely proud of him for talking about it and opening up to us. It was not an easy thing to do. He is not out of the woods yet, but at least his depression and thoughts are out in the open now. We are all working on getting him the help he needs to try to get him better. Thinking back to that day in the cemetery, I don't believe it was a malicious spirit that was messing with my fears about my son's health scare. I truly believe the messages that I received that day were trying to warn me about Jack's mental health, a warning to pay attention. The messages I get from the other side don't make the most sense now. To me, that is the frustration. I don't see it as a gift because I don't usually get a clear picture message, which makes it all very annoying. I know that Spirit was trying to help and was sending me a clear message about my son and his dark thoughts of suicide. I don't have the full picture to pull it all together. This is one of my most recent paranormal-related stories. I will write again soon with another couple of cemetery-related experiences that I've had. I wish you all the best, RGSO, Real Ghost Stories Online. To me, like the whole idea of getting messages and not interpreting them, being able to, that's super common. I think yeah. We all get messages. Like, I don't know what the penny was doing on top of my phone the other day, but I do think it's some sort of message to me. And I think that she definitely got a message about her son in the cemetery that day. But it's not like the messages you're going to get, you know, if you have a little, I think we all have a little bit of psychic ability in us, that the messages aren't just like, you need to get your son to a mental health professional ASAP. You know, you wish you could get that message.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have to do your best to interpret okay. them.
I have so many thoughts about this story. One thing is I don't think that something can come through to us if we're not ready. Now, this just is like common everyday stuff too, right? If you aren't ready for that information, you can't process it. So a while back, I was driving my car and I was stopped at a stop sign and I saw something happen, whatever. I can't remember what it was. But all of a sudden, I remembered a professor saying that this phenomenon and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden I went, oh, that's what he was talking about, right? It didn't come for like 20 years that and all of a sudden I understood it. I was ready for it. The dots connected, right? So it even happens in our life. Like your mom can tell you something, but if you're not ready to hear it, it won't matter. 20 years later, you'll go, oh, now I get what mom was talking about. Yeah, that was dumb, right? Or it just in college, the information, classes, whatever, right? People can tell you stuff. But if you haven't lived it, if you haven't been, if you're not ready, it's not going to make sense. Situation here, case in point. She's absolutely right. Sometimes she says, well, I get bits of things, but it doesn't make sense. You're not ready. It will happen and it will come back and you'll go, oh, that's what that meant. It will come, but you're just not there yet. You're not ready. I'm questioning. I could be totally way off base on this one. But when she sat down at that bench and looked at that girl, had she gone back and done a little research on that name? Do you suppose that girl died of suicide?
She was young.
And possibly it was a warning. They were prepping this woman. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, dying young. There's no reason to die young. Maybe it was trying to get her to put this together, that her son doesn't have to die. He's knocking on the door.
But he needs help.
He hasn't gone through it.
He needs help.
But he needs help. He's knocking on the door asking for help. And she's sitting down by this person who died that was almost exactly the same, you know, and I'm just...
1 week apart.
I'm just, you know, speculating here. But it feels like there was some clues that were pushing her in a direction right. to help her son.
And it was masked by this benign tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that she was given that day was seen through this, seen through the lens of her son's current issues,
mm-hmm.
not the underlying issues.
Right.
And so she was picking up on underlying issues, which I think did just, become obvious
yeah,
to her.
She just was in the cemetery thinking about this lump and he'd not been feeling well or what, you know, and lost weight and things. And she's thinking that. But the cemetery is leading her deeper.
It's just interesting where you get these messages from and signs from. And I think a lot of us are able to get signs
mm-hmm.
and we shut it down. You know, the penny on the phone. A song comes on. You know, there could be a message there. And I think if you open yourself up a little bit more to it.
I think so, too. And don't always just say, well, I don't get it or whatever. I honestly think that a lot of this, you know, paranormal experience is preparing us for what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, you know, sometimes I think it just will make your life a little easier if you kind of are prepared. I feel like in my dreams a lot that happens.
Yeah.
That something will happen in my dream and then it kind of sort of happens, or I kind of knew it was going to happen when it does later. You know, be open. If you don't just get it immediately, don't panic, but just kind of put it in the, I call it the RAM of our brain. Mm-hmm. You don't even put it on the hard drive, but it's kind of in the RAM, right? And it's there and it's kind of circling. You'll be surprised. It may be a year later, but you'll go, oh, that's what they meant. And now I kind of know how to handle it.
Yeah, because I think once you kind of figure out that you're receiving messages, that then you're more able to interpret them.
Mm-hmm. That's what
better able to anyway.
Right.
Well, thanks for sharing that story today.
So good.
And if you like the show and want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Go through applepodcast.com. Try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.